Well, good evening to each one. Again, wish you all Lord's blessing as we have gathered again. I do want to commend you for coming again on Friday evening. I'm sure you could have thought of a lot of different things you could have done back home. The weather would be perfect to have a little hot dog roast and marshmallow roast, or sit around the fire and drink some coffee and just reminisce of the past and see what's going on around in the world and all those good things that we like to talk about. But you decided to go through the work, I would say, of getting ready, drive to church, and see what the Lord has for us. So I want to commend you for that. Thank you, Brother Matthew, for those thoughts. Isn't it amazing how many times a person, like he was reading in the book of Proverbs, we think of a way that we should take, and we think this the right way, but come to the end of life, we figured out this death, or not even that far. It was the wrong way to take. So we hoped and prayed that we can choose the right way, the narrow way, the way of Jesus Christ, and follow that. Well, before we get into the message tonight, I would like to have a little children's class again. So I know the children, they all had a big day. Today was the last day of school for the week, and you're looking forward to the weekend. But I actually brought a toy along today. Now, this is one of my favorite toys. Okay? Now, I told you all on Monday that I grew up in El Salvador. Spanish was my first language. So I need to teach you at least a word in Spanish, don't you think? It would be in order. I'd hate if I would be here for a whole week with you and I don't teach you a single word in Spanish. So I'm going to teach you about this little fella. And the name for this toy is Piripituche. Okay, that's your Spanish word for this little fella here. Piripituche. So we'll see if you can remember it at the end of the service. Now, this little fella, he likes to do a lot of acrobatic maneuvers. Okay, look at that. I mean, he is very agile individual. Look at that. Can you see that from where you're sitting? He can even do backwards flips. Look, wow. Huh? I'll put it kind of from the side. Look at that. I mean, he is mighty and strong. Huh? Now, children, I beg you, don't do this on Mama's wash line, okay? She will not appreciate it. But this little Piripituche, he is amazing what he can do. I mean, you can see it, you know? He goes up, and then he's going to try to go a flip around. Look at that. And there he goes. Wow! This Piripituche is amazing. Now, This is one of my favorite toys for a couple reasons. Well, first of all, it's because my dad made it for me. Now, he didn't make it for me to play in church. But I decided to bring him along. To bring him along and we'll see what happens, right? But what I want to teach you, children, is a simple truth. This little Piripituche is doing exactly what he was created to do. Okay, my dad put a lot of energy and a lot of effort to make this thing, and he wanted this Piripituche to do that, to make flips. Look at that, he puts his leg way up there. Huh? Wow. Huh? He is extremely agile. Do you think you can do that? Ooh. Well, I tell you what. I think it was on Yesterday is when we went to school and had a school devotions. Wow, and I told you something, that God has created us. Now, I told you a few things yesterday at the school, even how to make a cake, but, whoa, his leg got stuck now. There, he got it. And I taught you a simple lesson, that God has created us to bring honor and glory to him, right? You remember that, children, from school? God made us so we can bring honor and glory to him. That's why he made you. There in Revelations 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Okay? So God made you and I to bring glory and honor to him. The same way that my dad made this piripituche, that way I can have fun with him and he can make some impressive moves for us. Right? That's what he was made for. So don't forget that God made you. I remember one time at Home Depot, there was a young fella there, very young. I only saw him once. I wish I would have had the nerve to go talk with him. But he had some kind of leather vest on here with a bunch of stickers, not stickers, but patches. And one of them said, "Born to be bad." And then later on, I was meditating about that, and I said, that's not true. God made that fella to bring honor and glory to God. But he chooses to go against God and be bad, right? Don't ever forget that God made you to bring honor and glory to God. Okay? So you can do a lot of things for the Lord. Maybe not this, right? This will be a little too hard to learn. But there's a lot of things that children can do. He's getting tired, so we're going to put him to rest a little bit. There's a lot of things that you children can do. And one of the things that you can do is go and visit the old people. It is amazing to me how many times I have gone to visit older people and maybe nursing homes. And you know, we are people of the word, and I'm a pastor, and I'm trying to figure out what to read, right? I want to preach to them. The poor old people, they don't want preaching. They can hardly just listen to what I read. You know, they want to see the children. They want to hear them sing, not the preacher read some old stories. Now, I do believe in the power of the word, so I still do it, right? I still read in my little passage, maybe a little fast, and give a few comments, and they are there just watching the children. They want to hear them sing. So, children, remember, you can bring honor and glory to God in different ways, and one of those ways is that you can just serve the Lord in singing and ministering to the old people. Now, don't forget the piripituche. I'll let you play with it afterwards, okay? If you can say the word. All right. That's going to be your assignment. Now, there's another, just one little side note that I want you children to learn to appreciate what your parents do for you, okay? Do appreciate the toys that mom and dad give you. And especially the ones that maybe dad spent a little extra time in building them, right? Those are very special because, you know that what dad put effort into it. Turn with me for the message of the evening. Turn with me to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. I have quoted this or referenced to this book a lot. It's been a tremendous blessing for me to study the book of Ephesians. And there's a lot of things here, a lot of things in Ephesians. It kind of teaches us who we were, who we are in Christ, how we should live now that we are a child of God. How should that work out? And there in Ephesians chapter 6, of course, Paul gets very practical. And here in the first three verses, I would like to read the first three verses. And the title for the message tonight is simply, Honor Your Parents. Honor Your Parents. And the first night that I talk about what is revival, I told you that it's sort of like a new presentation of something old. Right? You have heard these verses. You know them by heart. What it means to honor, or what it says here, to honor your parents. And I would like to just expound a little bit on what this means, because it has been a tremendous help in my own personal life to learn this. And I hope and pray that it can be a help for all of us here. I know a lot of times we say this might be for the young people. We have sort of that a tradition, the Torah, that weekend, either Friday or Saturday, we preach a sermon for the youth, which is all good. I tend to shy away from that a little bit simply because I don't like those categories. Nobody likes to be called old anyway. And so we all call youth. Everybody's youth, right? Huh? Now, if you preachers do that perfectly, don't think that I got this figured out. By no means. But if it would be a message of all this week that would be more for the youth, maybe this would be. But if there's somebody here that needs to hear it, it doesn't matter your age, okay? You allow the Spirit of God to teach you, and you will learn. You will learn. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read the first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And that is the text that we would like to focus on this evening. Obviously, children here, the word children, is like the descendants. My offspring is my children, okay? My children. That includes, in that Spanish Bible again, it would include the daughters. And I think we, in English, it does that as well. Children doesn't mean just the sons, but the daughters as well. And it's interesting that the Greek word here is a different word than whenever Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Those are the little children. Okay, the word children there. Los niños. The children. I guess in English we don't have two different words, do we? In the Spanish we do have the whenever they're child and whenever it's their offspring. We have two different words as well, like sons, we call them sons, which in the Spanish we include the daughters as well. All I'm trying to say this is that the word here, I believe, is referring to people or the children that can understand. Not necessarily just the little ones, right? But it's still good to teach the children this verse. They need to learn to obey their parents in the Lord. And I love what it says because this is the right thing. This is right, he says. This is the right thing. You need to explain, he said, the children are going to say, why do I need to obey my parents? Well, I tell you what, it's the right thing to do. That's simple. You don't need any further explanation. This is right to obey your parents. Now, to obey, you know what it is to hear as a subordinate or listen attentively. By implication, to heed or conform to a command or authority. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear thy instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So what does that mean? That means that you do what they tell you to do. Remember the story of Tito last night. Even if you don't understand why they're asking you, you need to do it. And then, of course, the question comes, how long should the children obey their parents, right? Well, I hope that we all have the maturity and at least the discernment to know that as long as you live under mom and dad's house, you should listen to them. And we hope that the parents have the maturity and the discernment enough that whenever the child leaves the house and forms his own house, then you have to let them go, right? I don't think he works very well if the parents are trying to direct their sons or their daughter's home. It doesn't work very well. That's why there's a lot of jokes and a lot of struggle in our day with the in-laws, right? There's a lot of things like that. We need to learn how to do this. But as long as the children are at home, I believe that they should learn to obey mom and dad's commandments at the house. Their rules, whatever they are, that the children need to learn to obey them. Now we go to the part I want to get to is the honor part. Honor your parents. And honor simply means to put a valuation upon, put a price to it, to value. It can mean to esteem, do, or pay to worth. High estimation, respect, consideration, veneration, manifestation of respect or reverence. That's what we need to do with our parents. Another definition says to regard or treat with honor, esteem, or respect. To treat with deference. Now that was a new word for me. To treat with deference, not difference, but with deference and submission. Now, of course, I have to go and look for deference because the Spanish uses the same word, deferencia, and I never heard that word before. So deference means a yielding of judgment, or preference from respect to the wishes or opinion of another. Okay? So whenever you honor your parents, you know what they want, you know the instruction of your dad, you know the law of your mother, and you have your own opinions. And you're going to make a decision, and by through or by deference, you will yield to the judgment of another. Okay? You will yield to what your mom and dad want. That's what it means to have deference. And my mind had to go to a biblical example. There in Jeremiah, you remember the story of some strange people there that were called the Rechabites. Very interesting story. And I know the point of the story was God was trying to point out to the children of Israel that the Rechabites, or the Rechabites, however you say it, they were following, they were honoring by deference, yielding to the judgment of another. They were practicing something, but yet the children of Israel would not do it to God. That was the point of the story. But it is amazing to me that Jeremiah calls these people and he offers, God told him to do this, to put wine in front of them. And I read that story again. And it is fascinating. They put cups there, and they, of course, the jugs of wine, and put it in front of them. And the Rechabites said, no, we're not touching it. Because our father, Jonadab, commanded us not to do it. He told us not to drink wine. He told us not to build houses. He told us not even to plant seed. That's amazing to me. And then, all I'm trying to give you is an example of people that honored what their forefather had told him not to do. That's all I'm saying. And God blessed these people. It says in Jeremiah, said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done according unto all that he had commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. So somewhere along the face of the earth, there's still people, descendants of Rechab, that are before the Lord. Right? That's what he says. So another example, young people, young girls, when you go shopping, I guess we all like to shop. It's not just the girls that want to like go shopping. But maybe the girls that go and they want to go and buy something, maybe material. They love to buy material, right? And sweaters and those kind of things are, you know, they like. And you go and you try to get something and you said, well, what about this? And you know in your heart probably what the law of your mother will say. Right? Or the instructions of your dad. And you have to make a choice. Do I follow? Do I honor my parents? Or I don't? That's a practical example. And I hope you can see that it's a valuable lesson to honor your parents. To honor them. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament. This is what it was interesting to me in Exodus chapter 20. Of course, that's the Decalogue. Where God gave the Ten Commandments, and that one was honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Hebrew word for honor is something like kabed or kabad, and it is to be heavy, in a bad sense, burdensome, severe, or dull, or in a good sense, it rich, honorable, numerous, to make weighty in the same two senses, to make heavy, be heavier, or lay heavily. Now that's a strange definition. I wish so bad I could be a Hebrew person and understand exactly the meaning of what God wanted them to know. But if I could just translate it into my own version, I will say it like this. It's to see the heavy duty responsibility that was being placed on their shoulder and to see the value of their work. Okay? That to me is to make it heavy. You honor your parents by recognizing how heavy their responsibility has been. Okay? You make it heavy. You honor that, whether for good or for bad. It can mean both a positive or the negative. But I just want to emphasize that you will see what you put your parents through. And maybe you will not understand that until you have your own children, right? Sometimes I wonder, I don't think I put mom and dad through that. I was a little angel, really. Too bad my mom passed away already. We could ask her, right? I guarantee you she would have set the record straight. Now, I don't know. We all have a different story. How it was with our parents. You know, I'm a grown person. I'm not planning to grow another cubit. I'm done. I might grow some other ways, but hopefully not too much. But we all are at different stages of life, and we all have a different story. How did it go with your parents? And for those of you that may be young, how is it going with your parents? For those of us that are on the other side, now we have our own children, how is it going with our children? So we all ready to learn tonight. How does this work? And I have numerous points to make on how to honor your parents. And the point number one that I want to make is that our parents were not perfect. Please realize that. And you say, why would you say that? You know, please remember that your parents are not perfect. There is for a while I was on this stump. Thankfully, I kind of got off of this stump, but it's still there. This idea of ideals versus reality. I don't know if it has been for you, but yes, it has. You're normal people like I am, or maybe I'm not quite normal, maybe. But in every situation that I have found myself in, I have always developed ideals. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, whenever I was a young person, I start developing ideals of how parents should be. I was very young. I was listening when the preacher were talking to the parents. And I was almost ready to go poke my dad and say, Dad, are you listening? They're preaching at you. Thankfully, I never did that. Right? I knew better. But I was hoping he was listening. All I'm trying to say is that through my growing up years and as a youth, I thought I knew, I developed ideals of how parents should operate. Okay? And I still remember when I was, I don't know how old I was, and I used to see those parents struggling with a child. And I'm like, why don't they just get the paddle out and just spank the child and be over with? You know, boom, that fixes everything. I didn't know you had to do it like 70 times 7. I thought one session of that discipline will fix it. And those parents had their head stuck in the sand and they hadn't realized it. But I was, you know, a happy 14, 15, 16. I don't know how old I was. And I knew how to do it. Wow. Ideals versus reality. I was in for a big surprise, wasn't I? Think about it. Even in church life, it doesn't take very long until you start developing ideals of how church life should be. Oh, if my brotherhood would be like this. Oh, if my preacher would be like this. Oh, if the brotherhood would just operate this way. And we have ideals. We have ideals of how the preacher should be. The preachers have ideals of how the congregation should operate. And how they should behave. And how they should respond. Again, the reality. What happens? You can apply it in work life. You know, you're working in a crew and you wish that the crew leader would be like this. You wish the crew leader would get you at least a watermelon every day. You wish this, you wish that, and we come up with all kind of ideas and then it clashes with reality. All I'm trying to say is, as youth, maybe this is more for the youth, or probably the adults already realize reality. But don't forget that your parents are not perfect. Okay? We accept it. We accept it as parents where none of us are perfect. And through that, in this same point, I want you to learn how to deal with those paradoxical things of your parents. You know what a paradox is? Whenever there's two different ideas, he should be one thing, but the reality is another thing. And it's paradoxical that a preacher will get mad at his children. That shouldn't happen, but the truth of it is that it happens. So you have to work through that. You have to learn how to deal with it and just either accept it or somehow or another you have to work through it. And the best example I can think of is in the Bible is whenever Noah got drunk. And you remember the story. The great man that walked with God. The great man that is the reason why we're still here. What happened? He got so drunk he forgot he had either he had his clothes on or not. And then guess what happened? His son saw him. And I don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't explain why that was wrong, what he did. Well, I know there's a lot of there that we don't understand. But somehow or another he went, instead of covering him, maybe he made fun of him. At least. And he went and told his other two brothers. His other two brothers said, we don't even want to see the nakedness of father. You remember how they walked backwards with the sheep and they covered him until he got sober again. And guess who got cursed? It was Noah's fault that he got drunk. But guess who got cursed? It was the son. And that to me started clicking in my head. You know what? I need to deal with the paradoxical things of my parents that it may be well with who? With thee. The Bible teaches us that we need to honor our parents, not to make them feel good, because they did a good job, not to just running through the mill for the things that they did not do. That's not what it says. He says that you need to honor your parents, that it will go well with you. Somehow or another, he showed dishonor, disrespect, and he got cursed. This is real. Don't get just hung up on that you wish your parents were perfect. They're not. And I got some more points here that we just need to keep going. The second point is don't become bitter at him. It's very easy for us to become bitter. And there in Hebrews chapter 12:15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And this is my burden for this message. This is probably the biggest burden because I understand that bitterness is a hindrance to our Christian life. We can think of a bunch of things that bitterness will do to you. And this cause of what your relationship with your parents has been, it can be a huge cause of bitterness. There's people that go to the grave bitter against their parents. There's people in their Christian lives. I was one of them. I was bitter at my father. And I will tell you a little bit later why. And I'll tell you, we all know the bitterness in the Christian life is a huge hindrance. Just a couple of things. It will steal your inner peace. Have you ever heard of a person that is in peace of heart with bitterness in his heart? It doesn't go together, does it? A person that is bitter against his parents, he cannot have peace. He's wishing that the record would be set straight. And worse than that, it will harden your heart. Bitterness will harden your heart. And you see people that whatever you do to them, whether you say good morning, they get mad at you. They're grumpy in the morning. If you don't tell them good morning, they're grumpy because you didn't greet them. And they go through life like they always drinking orange juice. I'm sorry, lemon juice. Orange juice won't be as bad. But they're so sour. They're just sour with life. You know, no peace and a hard heart. That's a great combination. I guess they even take bath with lemon juice. Just sour. And also, whenever you're a bitter person, your glasses, now I thank the Lord I don't have glasses, but it won't be long until I need them. But it will stain your glasses. You know, you can't even see clearly anymore. You see everything through the lenses of bitterness. What my dad did, what my mom did, what my dad did not do, what my mom did not do. And they can't even talk about this. And it will hinder your spiritual life. So don't become bitter at them. Don't become bitter at them. Point number three. As we honor our parents and we try to work through this, I wrote down, try to focus on the good aspects of your parents. Try to focus in the good aspects of your parents. I know some of you might have to go on a huge treasure hunt, right? Some of us might not have, we have a whole list of good things or treasures that we can think of our parents. Some of us might not. But go and try to find the good aspects of your parents. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it gives a list. It gives a filter of what thoughts we should be thinking. You remember that? It gives a whole list. It says, "For finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely," and this is my point, "whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Okay? We need to stop and think of the good things. No, we don't come automatically like that. We come automatically thinking of all the bad things, all the bad report. We can think of all the bad things that mom and dad did to you or didn't do to you. And that's what we focus on. But the Bible is saying, if there's no good report on that, stop thinking on that. Now, I'm not saying that you need to shove under the rug bad things that happen. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. And I'll get there a little bit more. I'm going to have to tell you a few stories tonight, and I don't know how much time you'll have tonight, but I hope you're not in a hurry tonight. My Uncle Elmer, I referenced to him last night. When my dad was about 17 years old, my grandpa died. My grandpa Ramos had a very strange disease. It was called myasthenia gravis. He was like 44, I'm 42, going on 43. So he was just a little bit older than I am when he passed away. And it was basically a disease that attacked his muscles, until the point that he could not breathe anymore. So technically, he died of lack of air. They actually drill a hole in his throat to put a way where he could breathe. Now, before I forget to you, the missionaries, Sister Verda Glick and Brother Eli Glick, that went there to our community. Sister Verda was a nurse, and she took a lot of interest on sick people and people in need and that sort of thing. And she would take my grandpa to the hospital for his treatments and studies. I'm sure they probably didn't know much about those kind of patients in that day. But she would witness to him to the point that my grandpa became a Christian. So before I forget to tell you this, because I'm going to talk a little bit bad about him tonight because of the experience of my dad, but he became a saved person. Okay, so I want to make sure we get that established there. But my point, what I'm trying to make here, I'm going back to Uncle Elmer here. We went to Sister Verda's funeral, actually. My brother and I, we decided to go. When Sister Verda passed away, we decided to get on a plane and go down to Alice for the funeral. And we were talking to Uncle Elmer. My grandpa died. He was the oldest. My dad was the oldest of the children, of the boys. He had an older aunt or an older sister, but he was the oldest of the boys. He was 17 years old, and he became the responsible father figure for the rest of his siblings, to the point that sometimes he had to spank some of his brothers. Now, I don't know how many of you would like to get spanked by your older brother. I would not like that at all. My uncles didn't either. So there was a lot of uncles that resented my dad because of that. Okay, especially the older ones. And Uncle Elmer, he knows that we have this deal in our family, my dad's family, a little bit of friction there. Because grandpa died, there was no father figure for the 10 siblings. And they did the best they could. And there's a little friction there. And there's some of my uncles that don't like or don't appreciate some of the things of my dad. But Uncle Elmer told us that this. He said, you know what, Henry? I choose to remember the good things that your dad did for us. Okay? Now, dad was not his dad, but he was a father figure for him. He taught us to work. He took us out there, and he didn't cut us any slack. We had to work. And that was tremendous blessing. And I choose to remember those things. Not the bad things, but the good things. That's what I'm talking about. Remember the good aspects of your parents. Remember. And some of you, I don't know, there are sad stories. And maybe what yours is a sad story. But even if the only thing that came out of your parents was you, think about it. Maybe you cannot think of any good thing that your parents did. The only good thing that came out of your parents was you. Whether they wanted you or not, they brought you to this world. And now, listen, you are alive. And you are listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through repentance, you can get away from the snare of the devil. And you can become a child of God. And you can be influenced with the divine assistance of the Holy Ghost. And you can become a temple for the living God. You can become a child of God, and you can be adopted into the family of God. And you can call God your heavenly Father. And you can experience a new life in Christ in the hope of eternal life with Him forever. An incorruptible inheritance with the saints. If that's all you can think of, that your parents, a good thing that came out of your parents, I say it's worth it. Think on that. Think on that. I know that would be extremely hard if that would be the only good thing you can think of your parents. But that would be at least a worth thinking of. It will be the thing of good report. Point number 4. How do we honor our parents? How do we deal with whatever the hurts that we carry from them is number four, recognize your part and forgive the rest. Recognize your part and forgive the rest. To forgive is to cease to feel resentment against on an account of wrong committed. To give up claim to requital or retribution upon an offender. To pardon, to absolve that person. Recognize your part and forgive the rest. And maybe you're saying, well, what if my mom or my dad had done something horrible to me? All I can tell you is I really feel for you. I really feel for you. I wish it would be different. But there's no other way around it. If you want to find victory in your Christian life, and you have hurts that were caused by your parents, there's no way around it but to forgive them. It could be a huge mountain to cross. It could be a huge thing to deal with. It will be a huge wilderness to tackle. But it's the only way around. The only way around is to forgive him. I don't know exactly when to tell you my story, but I'll probably just do it right here. I have some other points there that could go in there, but I'll just tell you my story. When I was a youngster, an adolescent, I remember, I don't know if that's whenever that teaching started coming or not, but I remember hearing the preachers preach to the fathers that they needed to stay close to their youth, especially about teaching them about the facts of life, of their own sexuality, because the previous generation didn't talk about these things. You probably know that. And I always thought that my dad would just, okay, would catch on, right? He will catch on and he will, you know, explain to me some things, but he never did. And I remember resenting that, that maybe my dad doesn't even care about my spiritual life. Maybe he doesn't even care. Well, I had to deal with all that, the facts of life on my own, or whatever I could figure it out. I was 19 years old, and I still resented the fact of my dad and I felt like we didn't have a good relationship. You know, we could go work together. We could do the work together and everything normal, like normal. But I didn't feel like there was a spiritual connection or a deep connection with my dad. And I resented that. And then I went to Bible school. There in Costa Rica, we had a two-week term of Bible school. And they did what they do here at Bible school here in Darbin, that the teachers will have interview with the students. And I remember Brother Pablo Yoder was one of the teachers, and my turn failed that he would be the one that interviewing me. And he asked me how I was doing my spiritual life, and of course, you know, tried to answer the right questions, right, or give the right answers. And he said, now listen to the wisdom of the older generation, right? He said, how is your relationship with your father? He knew that there's a correlation there, right? You have a good relationship with your father, you probably will have a good relationship with God. But if you don't have a good relationship with your parents, and especially in my case with my father, it probably is not very good spiritually either. And I'm like, Brother Pablo, I don't know if I want to go there, right? This is getting pretty personal here. Well, I didn't know what else to do but be honest with him. I told him, I don't feel like he's very good. And I told him about all these things, my struggles with him. And then he asked me this. He says, have you ever thought about talking to your dad about it? Well, I never thought about that. My dad is the one that needs to talk to me, not me to him. He said, why don't we do a deal? He said. This was in January. And in March, they had a Central American ministers meeting, and the ministers meeting was going to be in our congregation there in El Salvador. And he said, I'm coming to your area in 2 months. Why don't you go home and you tell your dad you want to talk to him and just tell him. Just tell him, just talk with him, and we make a deal. I'll come and ask you how it went. Maybe we should just go and jump in the Jordan River 7 times with Naaman. That would be easier to do. I said, okay, a deal. I went home and I thought and thought and thought and overthought about this. How in the world am I going to sit down with Dad and have a conversation like this? It seems too heavy duty for me. And you know what? I decided one night I'm going to do it. I asked the Lord to help me. I said, Dad, I need to talk to you. And Dad said, about what? And I said, I'll be right back. I got jumped on my bicycle, and I rode that bicycle as hard as I could go. I needed to get a little fresh air. I come back and, okay, Dad, I'm ready. And he said, okay. He said, Dad, I just want to tell you, I feel like we have not had a good relationship. And I want to ask you to forgive me for my part. And Dad said, I thought we did have a good relationship. But you know what happened that moment? That little moment there, it was not easy, by the way. It sounds like it should be simple to talk to your dad and say those few words. But let me tell you something. Something happened right here. And I realized till this day, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may go well with thee. It was for my benefit. It was a huge weight that rolled off that night. That night, I released my dad for whatever he has said, whatever he had done. He did the best he could, and I'll tell you more, a little bit more of my rest of my points. But that night, I realized I released the bitterness I was holding against him. Now, I did waste all those years in bitterness, and it's not an easy thing to do. But praise God. Praise God. Recognize your part and forgive the rest. Point number 5. We need to keep going here. Don't let your mind misconstrue what your parents did. Now, again, if your parents did something horrible to you, I'm not saying that is not true. But I am warning you that our minds are capable of exaggerating. Okay? Just think with me a little bit. Those of us, I guess I'm the oddball, but sometimes my mind can wander around and I can imagine, especially if I'm away from the house, that my wife is running the children to school in the van, and the van rolls off the road and goes right into the lake, then they all drown. And I'm starting getting teary-eyed of thinking about it. I'm like, that's not true. Praise the Lord, it's not true. That did not happen. All I'm trying to say is that our minds can do that. You know? Sometimes some people have a bad report of their parents. Again, I want to make sure I'm clear. If they did something terrible wrong to you, it was terrible wrong. I will honor that. I would recognize it as heavy as it is. But again, whenever you start talking to people, like Brother Pablo was talking to me, what did your dad do wrong? Well, he didn't talk to me. Well, why don't you go talk to him? It was not that huge, was it? You see what I'm getting? Our minds can just twist things up and make it bigger than what they are. Point number 6. Try to understand what they had to work through. Try to understand what your parents had to work through. And this is where my grandpa comes in the picture. I had bitterness against my dad because he wasn't learning about this technique, I will call it, or this virtue that they should stay close to their children. Where was his dad whenever he was 17 years old? He was sick. He was dying. He was dead. He died. He never knew a relationship with a father like that. Worse yet, my dad remembers, now this is what he needs to work through as well. But he remembers as a little child, of course, dad was the oldest boy. And a Hispanic man, especially in those days, he was very proud of his firstborn son. Kind of like the Hebrew people, really. Right? The firstborn son. He has a man child in his house. Whenever my grandpa will come drunk, because he liked to drink. Unfortunately, he was a good worker, but he liked to drink. He was not a Rickabite, for sure. And he will come home drunk. And in those days, there was a lot of lawlessness in Latin America and Hispanic. And of course, the Hispanics, they have that little thing. American people do too, by the way. You know, they want to be the boss of the town, right? The macho man of the town. He will come home drunk with a machete in one hand and the pistol in the other. Nobody's touching Mr. Ramos, right? But he wanted my dad and his oldest sister, my aunt, to come and meet him at the gate to help him walk toward the house. Now, can you imagine a child seeing the dad drunk? And a drunk person are unpredictable. And there he was, terrified at his dad. And he will get a hold of his hand that had a gun and try to lead him to the house. That's the memory my dad carried about his dad. Or the time whenever grandpa wanted him to milk the cow. He was 6 or 7 years old. And my dad couldn't get the milk to come out. So grandpa gives him a kick and told him that he's good for nothing. That's what my dad had to carry with him. And here I am wishing that dad would have a better relationship with me and teaching me some things about the Bible or some spiritual things, deep things that he didn't even have a chance to process in his own mind. You see what I mean? Learn to, what was my point? Try to understand what they had to go through. And now today I'm almost ashamed of telling you why I was bitter against my dad. Compare the two of them. Compare the two. Number 7. Understand that we all are wired differently. Understand that we all are wired differently. We process things different ways. Some of my uncles do not have bad memories of my grandpa. Why? I don't know. All I can say is that they process things differently. Right? My dad has a lot of bad memories. When I talked to my dad, I thought we were not having a good relationship simply because we were not talking about these deep things of life. And by the way, just a word and encouragement for all of us. If we can talk to our sons, especially the men here, we can talk about to our sons about sexuality. You can talk about anything with your children. That's an encouragement. It's a little hard, but it's not impossible. He thought we were having a good relationship. I thought that we didn't. We were processing things differently. And I must hurry. Point number 8. Accept them as they are. Accept them as they are. This is a deep thought here. Parents cannot be what they are not. You catch that? Parents cannot be what they are not. I could not make my dad into a Pablo Yoder, neither did I want to. I have come to realize I accept my parents as they are. Young people, I know we develop ideals, and maybe you think of what the ideal father would be look like, but guess what? Pinch yourself and say, I accept my dad as unique, as peculiar. We use the word peculiar a little different than the Bible, but peculiar, odd, whatever it is, accept them as they are. And the next point I have, number nine. We are in point number nine. Can you believe that? Just in case you're wondering, I've got 12 of them. So we're almost done. Number nine, it goes together. Don't be embarrassed of your parents. I don't know where I got this, but it was a young age. I remember my mom. Now, Sister Dorothy is not here. Sister Dorothy and maybe Aunt Miriam would have been the only ones that met my mom. Maybe Aunt Becky met my mom. I'm not sure, but I remember Grandmother Edna talked about meeting her. Anyhow, my mom was always a little extra, what should we call it? Strong. Strong, right? Well, she was fairly nice size, we call it. And I remember as a young person, you know, thinking, well, you know, but bless her heart was just as big as her body. She was a great person, a great person. And I remember coming across this. Why are you embarrassed of your mom? This is a treasure that you have. And I remember so vividly, I had learned to appreciate and love my mother. To the point, I know this is going to sound super strange for German descendants, right? But in Hispanics, we tend to be a little bit more, I don't know how to say it, affectionate maybe. But I remember even just going to mom and just squeezing her cheeks and just loving mom, giving her a big hug. I hope that those young men are listening here. There's nothing wrong with doing that for your mom. I know you said, I know you're protesting already. I did not say that you need to do that to honor your parents. I'm just saying, I learned not to be embarrassed of my parents. And number 10, I'm just going to briefly mention it. We need to learn to recompense them. The Bible teaches us there in 1 Timothy 5:4, but if any widow have children or nephews, it says in the KJV, that word should be grandchildren. Let them first show piety at home and to requite their parents. And the word requite simply means to repay them, to recompense them. For that is good and acceptable before God. We need to learn. I know we are in a different economy here in the United States than in Central America. Central Americans do very well at this, that they recompense their parents. The children start helping dad and their mom with the U.S. dollars to buy food, to buy a vehicle, to buy whatever. Whatever the case, I just wanted to tell you, this is biblical, that you need to learn to recompense your parents in monetary ways. It can be by just going and mowing the grass for them. Maybe grandpa has an old piece of junk vehicle that he needs to park. Go buy him a new one. Get all your grandchildren together and say, hey, why don't we all put $500 a piece and we just buy grandpa a new vehicle? That way he can go to Dublin and visit the preacher over there. And he will not be stranded between here and there in those, between here and there. Number 11, remember the law of sowing and reaping. Remember the law of sowing and reaping. And maybe we can add the golden rule in here. However you treat your parents is probably how you're going to be treated. However you treat your in-laws is probably how your son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws are going to treat you. It's late. There's a story of a man that was taking care of grandpa. The old grandpa there, you know how we get it, we get old and can hardly take care of ourselves and we need the children to take care of us, right? And the man was taking care of his dad. And so they're junior over there, junior father and grandfather here. And one day, this is the old days, when they have farmsteads and that sort of thing, the father decided to load grandpa in the wheelbarrow and he started heading to the woods. He would say, I'm tired of taking care of grandpa. Junior coming along, you know. And he said, Dad, what are we doing with grandpa? Son, he said, I am tired of this old man. We're going to take him as far as we can on this wheelbarrow, deep into the woods. And we hope that the Lord will send an angel to take care of him. Keep on walking. Now all of a sudden the son said, Dad, well, at least I know what to do with you when you get old. Well, that wheelbarrow made a U-turn pretty quickly. He came back and took care of Grandpa better than he ever had before. I don't think the story is true, but at least it teaches us a lesson. Remember the law of sowing and reaping. And number 12, the last one. Don't repeat the same mistakes. Do you know that we automatically learn from the mistakes of our parents? And we will repeat them if we don't conscientiously do something about it. Okay? My dad, I told you the other day, he had to drop out of school to go work on the fields of Grandpa. Grandpa was a hardworking man, industrious. He will hire people to work. And my dad could do as much work as a grown man. According to Dad, of course. I wasn't there to verify it. And whenever the payday came, his dad remembers that all the workers got some money and he didn't get any. And Dad said that bothered him. That was a bitterness for him that he has to work through. And he said, if I ever have sons, I will not let this happen. And I'm here to testify that Dad made sure when we did work with other workers, that we got paid the same as the other workers did. Sure did. He did not want to repeat that mistake. Now, he made a lot of adjustments, a lot of things. My brother and I discussed this from time to time. If we could only adjust more or the same amount of mistakes that Dad adjusted, we'd be miles ahead, right? But here we are, almost we can't even keep up with him, right? So God help us. You will make the same mistakes if you're not careful, because that's all your mind will know. Adjust those mistakes. Adjust them. And I am done. I hope, brothers and sisters, that this simple teaching can help you. If there's anyone here that is struggling with bitterness against your parents, I am here to tell you that you will not prosper in your spiritual life until you are willing to release them and forgive them. Forgive them. That it may go well with who? With you. Dad has to deal with his own problems. He has to deal with his own. But you have to recognize the heavy responsibility that they had to raise you. May God help us as we think and we honor that. I'm going to just close with that. I know it's late and it's Friday night. But if there's anyone here that needs prayer, I will beg you, find someone to pray with you and confess that to them. And you will find victory. You will find a blessing. Well, I'm not going to preach a message again, but I just want to encourage you to think about this. Honor your father and your mother, that it will go well with thee. It's the first command with a promise, and that thou may live long on the earth. Let's stand for a closing prayer.